Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, we begin a new year. We also begin anew with you each day. When the cold wind of winter whips through our lives, remind us of your presence, for our hope is in you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
There is no shadow of turning when they
The scripture this morning is from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on forevermore. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, church. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and New Year's. And as you came into the sanctuary this morning, I was thinking, oh, we should have had the popcorn machine going. Right? We should have gotten the popcorn out. As we're starting this new series in January, musicals with a message. And so you have a homework assignment during the weekday. You get to watch some movies. And so on the way out of church, we don't have the popcorn on the way in, but on the way out of church, there are still tons of microwave popcorn that you can take home and enjoy and get your microwave smell at home, fill your kitchen. And then on the little sticker on the microwave popcorn, it says the movie series lineup. So this week it was Sound of Music, and stay tuned for what's coming up next. But so glad you're here with us online in the sanctuary to start this fun series. And who doesn't like homework in January when you get to sit on your couch and pull up a blanket and pop some popcorn and watch a movie? It's fun. So that's your homework assignment for this week, is to catch up on the movies. Church, join me in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Oh, holy and gracious God, in your beautiful image, we were created for a mission and a purpose, created with a calling and a passion to share with this world. So loving and compassionate God, be ever near to us this day and make clear to us what that calling and mission and purpose might be for our lives. Speak to us this day that your will, that your way may be evident, and that we may have the courage then to seek after it. In the name of the one who knows us, loves us, calls us beloved, and beckons us to proclaim your joy and good news in the world. In the name of the Creator Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this week, it was kind of fun. This week, on Wednesday, we played a matinee showing of the 1965 musical, The Sound of Music, right? You know it, maybe, right? Starring Julie Andrews, she's Maria, and Christopher Plummer as Captain Von Trapp. Well, it's this great story of the convent-trained governess Maria, who wins the heart of the Von Trapp family, and then they have this courage to flee across the Alps and escape in 1938 in the flight for freedom. And so this week, we came into the sanctuary here, and don't tell the trustees, but we had popcorn in the sanctuary. I see some of our trustees nodding. Thank you for your grace. And we had water, not pop, but we had water, and we had popcorn, and coming on in to find a comfy pew, we sat down to watch The Sound of Music. I wish I could have provided Lazy Boy recliners. Maybe we can work on that for this week. And while watching the musical, I couldn't help but sit in the back and kind of sing along to the songs. Was anybody else singing along to the songs this morning as Susan was playing? And I was watching the movie, and I was captivated by all the theological points and themes that just kind of jumped right back out at me. And I thought, now where am I going to preach? Where am I going to start? Well, I think as Maria would say, let's start from the very beginning, a very good place to start. Okay, you're going to hear a few musical lines this morning in my sermon here. So as the movie began playing, and let's start from the beginning. So it captures this beautiful mountain scenery of the Alps, and then the camera zooms in on Julie Andrews, and she's singing from the top of her lungs, and she's twirling as the camera, you know, is on her. Her arms are wide open, and she starts singing, "The hills are alive with the sound of music," right? And shortly after there, the church bells ring. Maria, this nun in training, heading back to the convent, zooms back in into Salzburg there, and she's late. Well, the nuns have kind of tattled on her, and they're singing, "How do you solve a problem like Maria?" She's always up to something. And then with all these great excuses on her mind, she says, "Well, the gate was open wide, and the sky was so blue, and the grass was so green, so that's why I am late." Perhaps she's this wonderful nun in training, but perhaps her calling isn't going to work out after all because so much mischief she's always up to. Well, she has a good chat with the Reverend Mother, as she calls her, the head nun of the convent. I'm remembering the name, but the Reverend Mother, the head nun. And she's asking her if she's gotten into mischief yet again. She says, "Maria, what is it that you've learned?" And Maria says, "To find out what is the will of God and to do it wholeheartedly." To find out what is the will of God and to do it wholeheartedly. Well, like every great teacher, they always have a lesson for the students to really learn and to put it into practice. So she responds that she has this plan for Maria to send her out into the world and to learn what is that will of God in her life and then to do it wholeheartedly. Perhaps this nun calling isn't going to be a calling lifelong. And so from the convent into the city streets, then Maria goes and she's sent to be a governess, like a nanny, right? For 7 children for Captain Von Trapp. Pop quiz, does anybody know the children's names? Liesl. Kurt. Friedrich. Marta. Brigida. Gretel. And Louisa? I don't know if we said Louisa. Yes, you know the children, you've seen it. And so as the movie continues, we quickly see that Maria just is wrestling with this calling, trying to discern, well, what is the will of God in her life? And as it's noted in the movie, she remembers as a little girl climbing a tree and looking over and seeing the women, the nuns, and thinking that she wanted to be a part of this community of faith and thinking that was her calling in life. She wanted to take these vows and enter the convent. But then she discovered something was off just a little bit. Just wasn't settling quite right. Now, her calling in life would be to serve God. She would continue to serve God. We all have a calling to serve God, but it wasn't going to be to the religious order of the nuns. So spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, right? Spoiler alert, her calling would be in service to God and other people, but it was going to be lived out not as the governess of these 7 beautiful children, but as the mother of these 7 beautiful children, and as the wife of Captain Von Trapp. These two characters that once were very much at odds with each other now fall madly in love with each other and are married. Well, Maria's calling is then to a primary caregiver. Maria's calling is to be a life partner in marriage. Maria's calling is to be about bringing joy in the world through the beauty of music, through the sharing of songs, and they become the Von Trapp family singers. They even go and perform. So that's the brief Cliff's Notes of the movie, if you haven't seen it. But perhaps you have. You probably saw it in the theaters when it came out, or maybe you've seen it on Broadway, or maybe your grandchildren or your children are in a school play version of it. So as you think about that movie, it gets us thinking, how do we connect this to our lives? How do we take this great film and how do we connect this to our lives? Well, I want us to think about that calling piece today. You know, calling isn't just for the religious folks. It isn't just for people that are called to ordained ministry. A calling isn't just for clergy or licensed ministers. But as the late Reverend Frederick Buechner says, your calling is where your own greatest joy intersects with the needs of this world. So it's not just for clergy, but your calling is where your own greatest joy intersects with the needs of the world. So wherever your whatever talents or passion or joy, wherever that lies, there you're going to discover what your great calling in life might be. So it makes me beg a bunch of questions to ask this morning. What brings you joy? What are you passionate about? What skills and talents and skills do you have, and how are you going to use those for God's glory, for God's purpose? Now, we can think back about Maria, and we discover that she has a great love for music and singing. She loved to pull out her guitar and sing at the top of her lungs. She loved to dance freely to this great sound of any music that might come up. And Maria's calling was rooted in this great love for children, oh man, they brought such joy to her life. Anybody that wants to be the mother and the governess of 7 children? Oh, great love for children. I have 2. That's plenty. 2 hands. 2 children. 2 parents, 2 children. It works out great. I don't know how they do 7. But she loved children, from the smiles that would come on their faces to even the pranks that they would play. Do you remember when they put a frog in her pocket at the beginning of the movie? Uh-huh. Or remember when she sits down at the dinner table and she sits on a pine cone, right? But she loved children even when she got to comfort them or wipe away their tears, and even when the storms were thundering and she would calm them down, singing raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. You know that song. She loved children deeply and dearly. It was part of her calling. But as we think about it, she eventually found her way. She eventually discovered her calling, but it's not always so easy, right, to define that calling in life, to discern that calling in life. She wrestled with it. And in wrestling with it, it took a lot of time for her to discern it, and it took a lot of courage. Isn't that the truth? Time and courage are 2 important elements in figuring out what we're supposed to do in life. Ask any high school graduate, ask any college kid trying to decide, ask anybody who's been in their career for a while and decides this isn't quite right, right? It takes time and courage to try to discern the will of God in our lives. And we often wish it would go quicker. We often wish we wouldn't have to go on this zigzaggy journey of path of discovery. But the discerning our calling oftentimes takes time and courage, but it's worth seeking after. The Reverend Mother, in another conversation, then kind of towards the end of the movie, captured it quite perfectly as she's visiting with Maria. She's wrestling with her calling. She's wrestling with what to do. And the Reverend Mother sings Climb Every Mountain, this song about discovering that purpose. And that song about even if you have to climb a mountain to find it out, it's worth doing. She says, climb every mountain, search high and low, follow every byway, every path you know. Climb every mountain, ford every stream, follow every rainbow till you find your dream. And then maybe if we're willing to climb the mountain and search after it, maybe those dreams that we thought were just distant, far off, maybe even foolish flashes of vision, could actually be dreams that really are our calling. Do you ever get a good God nudge and you think, no way, that couldn't possibly be true? And then you take a step of faith, take a step of courage and follow after it, and it turns into something glorious and grand? I'm looking over here and I see Miss Lisa and I think, what about the great God nudge that she received and starting and being a part of the First Steps preschool, and that great God nudge to bring it over here to our church congregation, and for 30 years more plus, we've had so many children fill our church community with love and joy thanks to a God nudge. I think that was a calling. Beautiful thing. Thanks, Lisa. That wasn't written in my sermon. But I looked at you and I thought, great God nudges happen all the time. And when we step out on faith, those great visions like preschools can emerge and lives can be changed and the joy of children can be shared. Perhaps those great dreams that the Reverend Mother invites us to search after are not just foolish dreams, but things worth pursuing. No doubt when our callings can be difficult at times to discern, and it can take courage, and sometimes we're going to discover some doors are closed before other windows get opened. There's this great scene where she's leaving the convent, and she has a guitar in hand and a bag in another, and Maria famously says, when the Lord closes a door, somewhere he opens a window. When the Lord closes a door, somewhere he opens a window. So how often do we like to focus on that closed door and we just get like stuck staring at it, right? We focus on thinking we're supposed to go in one direction in life and the door is closed and we maybe want to focus on that, but if we turn and pivot, maybe we can see the window that's open, ready for us to step right through, and maybe we can discover a new calling, a new joy, a new way to share love in the world, a new direction that God is leading us in. When the Lord closes a door, somewhere he opens a window, Maria tells us. Okay, so I've chatted enough about Maria, but let's think about that other character, Captain Van Trapp. I want to say a little thing about him before I get too long-winded here. Maria's story was about calling, right, and discernment, but Captain Von Trapp's story, I think, was one about love and rediscovering joy in his life. If you remember his character, he experienced deep grief from the loss of his wife, and he struggled to embrace music. He struggled to embrace anything that might remind him of his late wife. But Maria had this kind of stubborn, strong, well-pushing personality a little bit. Maybe that's a little understated. And she brought music back into their home. She was, and in bringing music back into the home, she reminded him of the great love he once knew. And it brought joy back into his life. It built a deeper connection with his children and a new connection with Maria. And so from this grief and pain he once knew, he would eventually experience love and joy again, thanks to that persistent Maria and that healing balm of music. Can't music be healing? Can't the great hymns of our faith be healing balm for our souls? The great psalms are songs of praise and songs of lament as well. Music can be such a healing balm to our souls. Another thought about Captain Van Trapp is, as we think about that character, throughout the movie, he was particularly vocal about his political views and beliefs. He wasn't going to fly the Nazi flag above his house. He tore it up, in fact, at one time when he came home from his honeymoon and discovered someone had hung it up while in his absence. And he wasn't going to report for duty as expected of him. Instead, he was going to escape. And he was going to escape with his family to Switzerland through the mountains. Captain Von Trapp's resistance to the officers that were in support of Hitler meant that they were going to maybe be threatened if they didn't follow what was expected, but he was willing to take risk and stand up in what he truly believed was right. Doing the right thing is never the easy thing, is it? But we got to do it anyway. So as the Von Trapp family is making their way and escaping, they hide out in the convent, and the Reverend Mother gives them one more word of encouragement. And turns to Psalm 121, as Sue read for us. And we hear, "I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." So wherever our calling might lead us, however crazy of a vision or a dream we might think it might be, however hard it is to stand up for what it is we believe, we can always know that the Lord is with us, as Psalm 121 says. Church, I'd invite you this week to go home and watch The Sound of Music if you haven't recently. And then I'd invite you to watch West Side Story, because next week Pastor John is going to be preaching on West Side Story the 15th. We'll be thinking about the Jets and the Sharks and Tony and Maria, and that's your homework to catch up on those two movies, I suppose. And so this week, church, may you ponder and pray, what brings you joy? And what are you passionate about? And what are those talents and skills that you have? And how could you use that for God's glory and God's purpose? And in discovering and refining and leaning into and being bold to accept those callings, may you have the courage and the strength, like the captain and Maria, to act upon it. And may you know that the Lord is always with you. For we lift up our eyes to the hills, and where does our help come from? The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen.
You see me. And thank you, Pastor Lindsay. At some point, I was waiting for Maria to float down on an umbrella and help us all with our joy. And then I realized I had the wrong movie. But when I realized I had the right movie was when you were singing Climb Every Mountain. And I don't know, there are times that I have that CD at home and I'll play it. And I just want to get up and do something. And then I realize I just stumble and fall. But that's just me. And the thing that surprised me about the movie was that part was played by Peggy Wood. And it was later in her career. And she couldn't sing that song the way it needed to be sung. So they dubbed the voice of Marjorie McKay. And it's spectacular, the feeling for that. If we can't use that to motivate us to find our joy, I don't know what we can do. You may take notice that we do have two prayer quotes. We have one for Kevin, and we have one for John. At the end of the service, please take a minute to sign the card and also tie a knot and say a prayer for each one of them. And now let's pray and ask for God's blessing on these quilts. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, Kevin and John, we have these prayer quilts for them, and we ask that you give them your strength, your healing, your presence as they wrap themselves and feel the prayers of everyone here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, please join me in an attitude of prayer. Lord, our Creator and our God, your name is majestic in all the earth and the heavens. We only need to consider your heavens to see that all glory and honor are yours. It is hard for us to comprehend that you are mindful of mankind and care for humans. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior and showed him to the Magi. We need your help and look for you to watch over our lives now and forever. Keep us close to your heart as your faithful servants praise the name of the Lord. Shower us with your love, grant us your mercy, and lift us up when we stumble or fall. Accept our gratitude through Jesus, who helps us freely and confidently approach you. As we face temptation this year, remind us that Jesus is able to help us with our struggles. Let us run to you with our worries about tomorrow, as each day has enough troubles. Lord, consider our silent prayers, petitions, and confessions as we present our concerns to you. Abba, thank you for hearing our prayers as part of your family through your Son's redemption. Grant Christ's humility in our relationships this year, that we glorify our Heavenly Father. Hear us now as we recite together the prayer that Jesus taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And servers to come join us at the table. Well, we gather at the table this morning, the table of grace, the table of love, the place where we can come feast and experience God's grace. As we gather this morning, we remember a night. We remember the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, and we remember that he gathered with his disciples in the upper room, and it was there that he took bread. He gave thanks to God for it. He blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples, telling them to take and eat, for this is his body given for us. Do this in remembrance of me. As Jesus and his disciples then dined and ate together when the supper was over, then Jesus took a cup. Again, he gave thanks to God for it. He blessed it. He gave it to them and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you will in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these mighty acts of Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and a living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. And we proclaim the mystery of faith, saying that Christ has died, Christ has risen,
Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Well, all are invited to the table of grace to come receive the bread of life and the cup that is given for us. Whether you've been United Methodist your whole life, Christian your whole life, or if this is the first time being a part of a church community, we invite you to come and receive, because it's not our table, but it is the Lord's table. So in a moment, the ushers will invite you to come forward to receive the elements. There'll be two serving stations. You'll receive a piece of bread. The communion servers will give you a piece of bread, and then you'll receive a small cup. You can drink the cup, the juice, and then you can get it thrown into the trash cans. Then you can return to your seats. Pastor Lynn will be holding the plate of gluten-free elements in case anybody has gluten-free needs, and the juice is grape juice, so all are welcome. Won't you please come as directed by the ushers? Let's pray. Loving and gracious God, for the bread and the cup that we have received, we give you thanks. For the nourishment, not only physically but spiritually, that it shares with us, we give you thanks. Lord, help us to be the bread of life and the cup of grace in this world. Help us to be the hands and the feet and the presence of Jesus this day, that all that we seek to do, may we honor you. In the name of the one who loves us, calls us, and claims us, Christ Jesus, amen.
And now, as we prepare for our time of offering, I hope that your new year has begun kindly, and that you're finding a few opportunities to pause and notice the beauty around you. As you thank God for such gifts, consider the ways in which you may be called to share kindness and beauty with others, whether in this community or even across the globe. But one way you can do that is by offering your time and your talents and your resources to God. So I invite the ushers to come forward to receive our offerings.
Thank you.
praise you for all you have provided us with. We thank you for our families, for our work, for our gifts and talents, and for our church. In gratitude, we give back to you from what you have first given us. Amen.
On Wednesday at 2 as we're going to watch together West Side Story, and then may you go out into the world now, church, with the love of God always with you, with the peace of Christ with you, and the power of the Holy Spirit calling you and enabling you to serve as Christ's hands and body and feet in this world. Go in peace to serve with love towards God and neighbor. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.